All right, guys, you're dismissed to go to your class. Stay out of the food, okay? If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. He wants to go. That's good. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we have the temptation of Jesus Christ and how he passed with flying colors. And we're going to look at that. The same story is in the book of Luke, chapter 4. But in Matthew chapter 3, you find John the Baptist. He is the herald. He's the one who announces the coming of Christ. Remember in John chapter 1, he looked at Jesus and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." In chapter 3, he also baptizes Jesus. And thank the Lord, baptism isn't necessary for salvation. Amen. It's a picture, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And Jesus didn't need to be saved. Amen. So, but anyway, he was baptized of John. We come to chapter 4. And you'll find this in your life. It's always good to build an altar after a victory, not just after a defeat where you really need God. Because the tempter is always going to come even after victories. You'll find that all through the scripture. Some great day, some wonderful thing, some great decision. And then here comes the devil. He's the tempter. We'll read about that in Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." Can you imagine 40 days and 40 nights without food? I mean, that's a long time. I would be pretty hungry. I'm hungry if it's 4 hours. Amen? But so the temptation, the devil uses the temptation that he thinks will work on us. And we find in verse 3, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread." Boy, that's a good temptation when you haven't eaten for 40 days. And the devil's called the tempter. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Right? God with the temptation will make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. But we're all tempted at all times. It says, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Every one of these verses deserves a sermon, but we're just going to pass through. "Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." This is Psalm 91, but the devil misquoted it. He left out part of the verse. And the devil will use the Bible. He will use it, but he will misuse the Bible. Wrong interpretation, maybe leaving something out of the scripture. And so we go on verse 7. "Jesus said unto him again, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give you, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him," hip hip hooray, amen, "and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Temptations, trials, tribulations, they have a time period. And thank God he gives us deliverance. Let's ask the Lord to bless his service. Father, we love you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you that it is written. And I pray we would learn the scriptures that we might be able to be victorious against the tempter. Bless in this service, meet every need. For your honor and for your glory, we pray. Amen. This is the great temptation. Remember back in Genesis chapter 3, God had spoken to Adam and Eve. They had clear instruction. But the devil came along and doubted God's word. He put the doubt into Eve. And when she saw that it was good for food, the tree that she wasn't supposed to take the fruit from, and pleasant to the eyes and a desire to make one wise, she partook of that fruit. Three temptations. The Bible says about our Savior, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Same three temptations. That's what we just read about here in Matthew chapter 4. Same story in Luke chapter 4. In 1 John, the Bible says, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So those are the temptations. Everything falls under that heading, those three temptations. Jesus was tempted, all points like we are, yet without sin. That's what we're reading about here. And the reason he had victory was, it is written. He used the word of God to fight against the devil. I think that's a wise thing. But he said in here that men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. These temptations obviously have to do with physical temptations. And they do. We're tempted all the time in the flesh. And all temptations have to do with that. But we live by every word of God. That's what feeds the soul. There's nothing wrong with feeding the body. Amen? And we're going to do that today. Nobody here will be called a glutton if you have two pieces of dessert, because we're all going to have two pieces of dessert. You know, come hungry, go happy. Remember the Red Barn slogan? But there's nothing wrong with eating. We have to eat. But we need to feed our soul, too. And that's what we were talking about last week. Without food, you get very weak. And you can mark it down. When you start going without food, you get weak. We don't miss our meals. When I have breakfast, my wife fixed me breakfast, I'm looking forward to lunch. Amen? What did she put in my lunch? And dinner, what's for dinner? You ever ask your wife, what's for dinner, right? And so we're always looking. What's to eat today? I watch the people as they come in. Amen? If it's a real good dish, it goes in my office. Amen. So there's a lot of dishes in the office. But I read this about somebody that was starving. And there are different times of starvation or a series of starvations. But after 7 days, when the fatty acid reserves are gone, the body switches to protein. Depending on how little fatty tissue you had, it may only take a few days to reach this point. By 1 week, however, the bodies of most starving people will actively be breaking down muscle in order to obtain protein. In 1 week, we would not think about going a week unless we were on a juice fast or something like that. There was some nourishment. Think of fasting or not eating from Sunday to Sunday. That's why we always encourage, and God encourages us to spend time in our Bible, because that's how we feed the soul. Amen? That's how we strengthen the spirit. We keep our strength in God by doing that. If you just come to church on Sunday and get a Bible message, that's good, and you can go home with some strength, but Monday, Tuesday, it starts to wane. The closer you get the next Sunday, boy, I can't wait to get to church. But we could have a revival every day. Amen? Get up in the morning, read the scriptures, see what the Lord has to say. There was an article I read that talked about how a lack of food affects the digestive system, the cardiovascular system, the heart, the respiratory system, the nervous system, your muscles, your blood. There's metabolism that processes the body's use of converting food into energy. No food, no energy. That's metabolism. Think of that in the spiritual realm. No food, no strength. It's not processing that. Think of the immune system, and there's a comparison here too. The immune system is compromised when we don't feed the body. It is by impaired ability to fight infections and repair wounds. Think of that spiritually. If we don't feed on the Word of God, then, like it says, we can't repair wounds. You need the Bible to be a forgiving person. Amen? You need the Bible to show mercy. You need the Bible to love your enemy. You need the Bible to love your neighbor. You need that. That's where we get our strength from to do that. Last week I was preaching on preaching, and it's about feeding the soul. And there were a number of scriptures that we used, but I think if we were out in the world, and some countries that I've been to, you could see starving people. They're not hard to see. They're not hard to identify, somebody that's lacking food. Their gait is a little slower. They're just not with it. Their body shows that they are losing weight. And there's just all kinds of things that even you can't see that are going on in their body. You can see somebody who is starving. Amen? You can see somebody who's starving biblically. You can see it in an attitude. You can see it in actions. You can see it how close they are to God, how far away they are from God. And the Bible feeds us. We have in John 21:16, feed my sheep. That's what the Lord told Peter. 1 Peter 5:2, Peter says to those elders, feed the flock of God which is among you. Acts chapter 20, Paul told them there, feed the church of God. So in the scriptures, we are to feed. We are to help one another. Amen? We share the scripture. We talk about the Bible. Iron sharpeneth iron. So the sword gets sharper by spending time with good, godly people. Amen? And we have fellowship, and that makes us strong. What's fellowship? Two fellows in the same ship. That's what it is. So you have something in common, and that's the Word of God. And so your fellowship is around Jesus Christ. And that brings people close together, but it strengthens us. I think it's a wonderful thing. I want to use two stories in the Bible that make clear that bread is speaking of the Word of God, but bread is also speaking of the living Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. Man shall not live by bread alone. That was the first temptation that Jesus answered. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We have the daily bread. Amen? And this gives you like a little devotional, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the Word of God. And we'll see that as we get into the message. The two stories are in Exodus 16. That's about the manna that God sent from heaven. And that sustained the people of God. An amazing miracle. Amen? And the second portion of scripture we'll look at is John chapter 6, and that is the heavenly manna. Jesus says, I am the bread that cometh down from heaven. So we'll see that. There's an old statement that says the New Testament is in the old concealed and the old is in the new revealed. Exodus chapter 12, you read about how God delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage. Amen. And the last plague was the death of the firstborn, and they took the lamb and they took its blood and they put it on the doorpost and over the top of the door, made a cross. And there's scripture in there that says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We sing that song about that. And you come into the New Testament and you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He is the Passover. He was the Lamb whose blood was shed from the foundation of the world on the cross. Amen? And so you see that. You need that Old Testament story to make the proper application. Remember Numbers chapter 21. The children of Israel were murmuring. Can you imagine that? I mean, after all God did for them, and they're murmuring, and so because they were murmuring, God sent serpents, fiery serpents, into the camp, and they bit the people. And that poison got in their veins, and everybody that was bitten by the serpents died. And so the people were saying, help us, Moses. And so he prayed. And God said, make a pole, make it out of brass, take a serpent of brass, put it up on the pole, and lift it up and say, whoever looks at this serpent of brass on the pole won't die from the plague. Boy, that's quite a story. What in the world does that mean? Brass is judgment. The serpent is the devil. Lift it up on a pole. Look and live, my brother. Look and live. So you come to the New Testament in John chapter 3. And it talks about as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then there's John 3:16. God so loved the world. And you know the rest of the verse. But it explains what that story is. And you see that story, and it shows that heavenly truth. I think that's a blessing. That's what we're going to do today. 1 Corinthians 10:11. All these things happen to them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And so we look at those things. You know the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. It's a parable. A parable is an earthly story that tells a heavenly truth. Certain man had two sons. One was the elder brother, one was the younger brother. The elder brother was a picture of the Pharisee. He did all the work, he kept the law, but he didn't have a good relationship with his father. The story bears that out. The younger son, that's a picture of the Gentiles, us. He went and took all of his money, all of his living, all of his inheritance, and went into a far country and wasted everything. Ends up in the hog pen. Amen? And this is what happens. He comes to himself, the Bible says. And in verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? There's bread. If I go back to my father, I'm just going to ask him to forgive me. I'm just going to say, make me one of thy hired servants. But there's bread at my father's house. Sometimes the appetite gets so strong, you can't wait till lunch. Amen? You're going to grab a snack in between. And if you miss it for days, and if you were living in a country where they didn't have food for several days, that appetite would grab onto anything. And here's this young man. Everything's gone. He's in a far country. Man, my father's house. Everything's all right in my father's house. It's a blessing to have the word of God. Amen? And so he finally gets back home, and he says all that he says. And the father kills the fatted calf, and they bring the best robe, and they bring shoes for his feet, a ring for his finger, and let's have a party. Amen? But he had an appetite. When people get an appetite for God, it changes what they eat. If they feast on the manna, and one of the songs that we sing says that, it is such a blessing. Take your Bibles and go to Exodus chapter 16. We're going to start there. Exodus chapter 16. And read with me beginning in verse 1. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 1. Remember in Exodus chapter 15, the children of Israel have crossed the Red Sea. That's a pretty big miracle. I mean, the sea, not a little bit of water, but they've crossed the Red Sea. There's a wall of water on one side, a wall of water on the other side. They went across on dry ground. Could you imagine looking into the water and seeing all the fish? Amen? I mean, they knew it was a miracle, right? They come across to the other side, and guess what they did? Moses sang a song. He's singing, man, and that's chapter 15. Well, what else happened? They started murmuring again. I don't know how they do it. You know, you read through the Old Testament scriptures and say, what are they complaining about now? But they were complaining. Look at verse 1. Chapter 16. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. That is amazing that they said that. They're coming out of Egyptian bondage. They had cruel taskmasters. The Bible calls that time the iron furnace for them. They were beaten. They had terrible labor and not really good food too. And now they're saying, well, we're going to die in the wilderness. Would to God we were back there. It's amazing how some people can go back away from the Lord. Verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. In other words, they're going to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. They're not going to work on that Saturday. And so they are going to gather twice the amount the day before. Amen? And so God is going to give them just what they need every day. Just a few more verses. Look at verse 16. Verse 16, same chapter. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man. According to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, that gathered much had nothing over, he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Give us this day, this is the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Amen? Paul said, I die daily. It's the daily Christian life. He, speaking of Christ, he rising a great while before day, went out into a solitary place and there prayed. Prayer, reading the Bible, it's daily. Amen? And it's not just in the morning. Here they were commanded to go out and gather it in the morning, because when the sun came up, it ruined it. It melted away. They couldn't use it. And if you tried to keep it for the next day, well, I read the Bible 3 days ago. Sometimes it doesn't have the effect that God wants it to have. Amen. We need that every day to have our strength with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over at Numbers chapter 11, just a little bit to the right. Numbers chapter 11. And we'll begin reading there in verse 1. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. So God sent them manna. That's a pretty big miracle. All they had to do was go out and gather it. Amen? Just go to Martin's or Meyer's and just get whatever you want. You don't even have to pay for it. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Maybe. Verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. What were they complaining about? They didn't like the manna. They wanted something besides the manna. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish that we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Man, I remember getting saved. My wife and I got saved. She got saved before I did. Finally went to church, really uncomfortable. It was an uncomfortable service for me. I went back several weeks later and went to an altar. Prayed, but nothing happened. I got saved the next Saturday all by myself in my living room. And when I got saved, the Bible just opened up. Amen? And you call it new convert salvation. Wow. You'd go to church and hear something else that you never heard before. And man, that is deep. And it wasn't deep at all. It was on the surface, but it was so good. Amen? What happens? What happens? The Bible means so much, and then as time goes on, it just lays on the shelf, and some people don't even go to church to hear the preaching. Amen? But it's a wonderful thing to have the scriptures. Here, they got tired of the manna. They didn't want the manna anymore. They wanted something else. And in Psalm, well, it says in verse 19 and 20 of Numbers, I'll just read verse 20. But even a whole month it shall come out your nostrils. It shall be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt? God says, I'm going to give you some flesh to eat. And it won't just be for 2 days or 3 days or 4 days. I think that's verse 19. It won't be for 7 days. It'll be for a whole month. And you're going to get so sick of that. You're going to get so much of it that it'll come out your nostrils. And it will be loathsome unto you. And here's the scripture. In Psalm 106, verse 15. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They wanted meat for lust, not manna for their strength and their growth. And so God gave them what they wanted. Be careful what you ask for. Amen. They got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. We learn a lot from that story. Take your Bible and go to John chapter 6 now. John chapter 6. A lot of background here. This is a long introduction, but it'll be a short message. Amen? I can hear your stomachs. John chapter 6. And let's look Oh, remember verse 26, the people are gathering, and Jesus says, "You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." They were coming for something physical. They wanted something to feed their flesh. That is a thing that happens in the scripture when the mixed multitude was there. Listen, we have an old nature and a new nature. The new nature wants God. The old nature wants the world. The old nature is carnal, and we fight with that all the time. Galatians chapter 5, the spirit wars against the flesh wars against the spirit, right? But we need to feed our souls so that we can not only help us and our family, but minister to other people. Let's drop on down to verse 31. Verse 31. Now remember what our story was. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, and as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe me not." So it goes on. And drop on down to, verse 41. "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last." Verse 48. "I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." He's saying, "I am that bread. But I don't just give physical life, I give spiritual life." And that is exactly what he's talking about. And we read all those scriptures. He said, "The word that I speak unto you, it is spirit and it is life." Amen? And he says, "Except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can't have that eternal life." He's not saying that his flesh is what we need to eat. It's a picture. What is it? In Exodus chapter 3, Moses says, "Lord, you want me to go free the nation of Israel and preach to them and tell Pharaoh that he needs to let the people go. Who should I say sent me?" And God says, "I am that I am. Tell them I am has sent you." And so we come to the New Testament, and Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I'm the bread, I'm the water of life, I am the door." He wasn't a literal door, but he says, "I am a door." He says, "By me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and have pasture with the Lord." So he wasn't a literal door. So when he says to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, somebody didn't understand that. And the Bible says when his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying." And many went away from him because they didn't understand the scriptures. Amen? If they would have understood, they would have followed him. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, 'This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" 1 Corinthians 11, 24 says the same thing. That's the Lord's Supper. And when we take the Lord's Supper, that bread doesn't turn into his body. It's a picture of his broken body that we are receiving. There is no salvation in the Lord's Supper. Salvation is in coming to Christ. Just like baptism, it pictures the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. The Lord's Supper pictures his broken body and his shed blood. And we are to do those things because it keeps us in remembrance. Amen? And it's a public testimony. Verse 64, I need to read this. "But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, 'Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father.' From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, 'Will ye go away also?' Then Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a statement. God said to the disciples, will ye go away also? And Peter had a good answer. To whom shall we go? Where are we going to go if it's not you? You have the words of eternal life. Psalm 12:6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Job 23:12. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Think of that. Think of the power of that verse. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. He didn't physically eat them. He consumed them spiritually. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I read this about babies. Babies usually need to eat every 2 to 3 hours. That's why mom's up all night. Amen? And that's what happens sometimes with babies. Babies need to feed often because they have teeny tiny stomachs. A 4 to 5 week old baby can only hold about 3 to 4 ounces of milk at a time. Now, I know this is true because I got it off the internet. Amen? So if it was on the internet. This is why babies are ravenous again after after feeding. As babies grow, their stomachs also grow, enabling them to handle more milk. And as they grow, then you get into the, I don't know, whatever that stuff is, smashed peas and all that. I think that's cruel to feed a baby smashed peas. But anyway, what does it take? I'm not familiar. Maybe somebody can answer. But after a baby's like 3 months old, are they ready for steak? Is that the time? Or do you have to wait till they get their teeth in? I don't know. But anyway, they grow and they become young people and then they can eat meat. Amen? Isn't that the same thing with Christians? Listen to this verse in Isaiah 28. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. We desire the sincere milk of the word. When anybody gets saved, it's like you're a new person. Amen? Christ liveth in you. We're born again of the Spirit of God. I mean, there's something that took place, and we want to hear the word of God. It's not dull. It's exciting. Unto you which believe, he is precious, and the word of God is precious. So we want to hear it, right? And as we grow, we learn weightier things. We learn deeper things about God. And the more we learn about God, the more it draws us to him. That's what the Bible does. The Bible isn't to run and drive us away. It's to draw us to God. We hear that voice, and it does that for us. What is the deterrent today to walking away from God? It's a hunger for the word, because it's only the word that is going to do that. The backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of there are the issues of life. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. We hear a word behind us. This is the way, walk ye in it. It takes the Bible. Because if we hear something Sunday and we go another whole week before we study or hear or memorize another verse, we're going to get weak spiritually. Remember the black dog and the white dog? The black dog, the old nature, the white dog, the new nature. I got two dogs. I just feed the black dog. Guess what's going to happen to the white dog? The black dog is going to be superior in strength to the white dog. And vice versa. And we need that strength from the Lord. That's another sermon. To whom shall we go? Matthew Henry said, if we forsake Christ, we forsake our own mercies. Should we go to the Pharisees? They taught doctrine. And they taught the will of man, not the will of God. The philosophers? It's interesting, in Acts chapter 17, I think it is, Paul is in Athens. He goes to Athens, and there's a street, and there are idols on both sides of the street. And everybody's worshiping these idols. He says, I went by your devotions. They were very devoted to those idols. And so Paul is preaching now. He's preaching Jesus Christ. And this is what the philosophers said. You can look this up in your Bible. They said, what will this babbler say? He is a setter forth of strange gods. They even had one altar made to the unknown God. Boy, that's the pot calling the kettle black. You know what I mean? They had all of these gods, and they were accusing Paul of doing something wrong. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the rudiments of men, after the traditions of the world, and not after Christ. So many philosophies out there, but there's one truth. And so we forsake all to follow that. Worldly people say, come with us, cast in your lot with us. And Jesus said, no, don't go with them. Repentance is turning to something and turning from something. Here's what happened when you got saved. You weren't a Christian. You worshiped maybe good works. Maybe you had gotten baptized. Maybe you were trusting this, trusting that. Maybe it didn't even have anything to do with Christianity. Maybe it had something to do with idolatry. Maybe you were an atheist. Any category you want. And you heard the gospel. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He paid the penalty so you could go to heaven and be with him. And you looked and you said, I don't believe what I used to believe. I believe Jesus Christ is the answer. That's repentance. We turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And so now I'm going this way. I was going that way. Now I'm a Christian. Amen? How can a Christian get away from God? Why does a Christian get away from God? Why did Israel murmur and say, what'd you bring us in the wilderness for? Would to God we were back in Egypt. And why did people go back? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. That's what it says about Demas. Demas worked with Paul, but he forsook him, and he went back because he loved this present world. All the stories are, fill the scriptures. Amen? And it's because when we get away from God, it gets darker and darker. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. It gets darker. It doesn't get brighter. So many verses talk about this. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Acts 26:18. Paul's ministry was to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen? The word is what keeps us. It strengthens us. It guides us. It comforts us. The comfort of the scriptures. I mean, it does everything. And when we leave it, we get weak. We get hungry. But if we don't feed on the word of God, we're going to feed on something else. Philosophy. Law, this, that, the other thing. Put anything in the equation that you want to put. That won't bring you back to God. Those are the things that take us away from God. It's so easy to come back, isn't it? All I have to do is come to myself. There's bread enough and to spare in my Father's house. In my Father's house. And you take one step towards the Savior, you'll find his arms open wide. That is such a blessing. Papaphio wrote this, beloved, Christianity is not for the faint-hearted. It is for they that can stand their grounds and hold on to the faith no matter what the challenges are that they face, because they know that no matter what happens, they have nobody to go to except Jesus. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. We sang the song, O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, a life more abundant and free. His word shall not fail us. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I was going to sing this, but I think I won't sing it. I'll just quote it for you. You sing, brother? Yeah, amen. 10 or 11 miles away, right? Like the woman at the well, I was first thirsty for things that could not satisfy. But then I heard my Savior speaking, come to the well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Psalm 23, my cup runneth over. You have bread enough and to spare. You have water enough and to spare. As that cup runs over, it splashes on everybody. Amen? When that love for God is in you and that appreciation of His mercy and His grace and the Word of God is in you, you've hid it in your heart, you quote it, you love it, you follow the Lord, it just spills. It just keeps pouring out. Amen? Such a blessing that we can help so many people. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be, what's that word? They shall be filled. They shall be filled, right? If you hunger and thirst. In Ephesians chapter 5, you're told how to be filled with the Spirit. Colossians chapter 3, you're told how to be filled with the Word. And being filled with the Word is being filled with the Spirit. You can look at those verses. Amen. Ecclesiastes 11. I'll close with this, I think. It says, cast thy bread upon the waters, and after many days it'll return. But you just cast that bread out there. Remember the woman at the well? And when she met the Messiah, she went home. She didn't have a good reputation. But she went home and she was different. And that cup was running over. And there was more bread there than could feed the whole city. And they came out. And Jesus, or the woman said, come see a man that told me all things whatsoever I'd done. Is not this the Christ? And they came out. And as they came out, remember the disciples were concerned about going into town and getting something to eat. And Jesus says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. You don't get it. And so he's feeding spiritually this woman. And as the disciples are coming back, the city's coming out. And Jesus says, look at you. Open your eyes. Look on the fields. They're white already unto harvest. And that's what it is. Amen? People need to see Christ. Not criticism. Not condemnation. They need to see grace and mercy and love that draws them to God. Take one step to Him. He'll take a step to you. And you'll find mercy and grace. Amen? And when you start winning people to Christ, boy, that's going to be a blessing. That's going to list. Let him pour out. Amen. Find something to talk to your neighbors about, your fellow workers, your family. Amen. Tell them how good God's been to you. Maybe start a conversation somewhere just so that you can praise the Lord where they see God's goodness and grace. Because eventually, story after story, there are people out there that will come look you up.